Well, we've been talking about redemption, and we're going to do something different tonight. More than a teaching, it's just an encouragement. I woke up the other morning and I had a very busy day ahead of me, and I was just kind of reading my Bible and praying, and I was ready to get at it, and the Lord gave me all these scriptures, and so I said, "Is that for this weekend?" He said, "Yes, it is." And I said, "Okay." So I got it all down on the computer, and so I'm just going to dump it on you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 44, verses 1 through 4. "Yet hear me now, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen. Thus says the Lord, who made you and formed you from the womb, who will help you. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and you, Jerusalem, whom I have chosen, for I will pour water on him who is thirsty, and floods on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit on your descendants, and my blessing on your offspring, and they will spring up among the grass like willows by the watercourse." We've been getting quite a bit of rain, and off over here, St. Joe and on down, it's flooding. Do you know why it's flooding? Because they got more water than they needed. And if God says, "I'm going to pour floods on you," he's saying, "I'm going to give you more than you need. You who are thirsty." I don't know about you, but I've been getting so thirsty, so hungry for the Lord. I just can't get enough. And he says, "I'm going to pour floods of water, floods of my spirit upon you." And Phil and I were just talking here that the Lord's been showing me the miracles are coming back, and a fellow that I prayed for last month in Greenville, Illinois, he came up when I was just ministering to some people, and he said, "I have so many things wrong with me. My heart's giving out. I have a pacemaker," and he was telling about all the different things that was wrong with his physical body. Laid hands on him, prayed for him. He came up after the meeting yesterday, and he said, "Look at me. I'm totally and completely healed."
Wow.
Even more than that, life changes. One of the pastors, as the pastor's brother-in-law, he's just had some things begin to happen to him. Normally, he just, really going in the spirit, and then something happened with his dad, and then he got mad at another person about it. In fact, he sued him. And then he started getting angry with other people and other people and other people. Personally, he dropped out of church, wouldn't come to church, and his wife was just miserable because he was just finally ended up being mad at 40 people. And then it started affecting his work. He started getting angry at all the people at work. And he said, all of a sudden, God just spoke to him. And he said, "It's not them, it's you." And so he repented and came to church Sunday for the first time in probably a year.
Oh, wow.
And he said, "God's calling me to the ministry." And you talk about miracles. I mean, his wife, I mean, she was just beside herself. She didn't know, you know, if he was going to take off and leave, or, you know, because he made the whole family so miserable that she said, I don't know how much more of it I can take. Well, I kept ministering to her because, you know, I knew she was going to need the endurance to be able to get through the thing. But anyway, to me, that's a miracle. I mean, healing physical bodies is a wonderful, wonderful thing. But healing a soul that's been angry for, you know, all of this time, and then just to soften him, not only that, but to say, now I want to be a minister of compassion. I want to reach out to other people. And so, you know, but and the whole service yesterday was just an outpouring of the Spirit. And people were, you know, did you know who was here? You know, and they started naming all these horrible sinners that showed up at church. You know, I said, what a day for them to be here. You know, had homosexuals and oh, you know, and but God's and God healed a family. A guy started coming, and his estranged wife had no idea he was there, and came to church, and that was last month, and I was ministering on the unity of the Spirit. We talked, I think we did it here too, didn't we, on the on communion. And communion's really about unity, and you being united together. Anyway, the two of them came forward together, and this Sunday they were back together. Hallelujah. So God's doing the miracles, doing things that, I mean, you just wouldn't, you wouldn't even expect to be there. But that's God. And you can't figure out, now how did he get all that together? You know, how did he work all of those angles and get, so that all came out right? It's just marvelous. And so his promise is, I made you, I chose you, and now I'm going to fill you with my Spirit. We cannot make it without his Spirit. It's going to be absolutely impossible for Christians to live without the infilling of the Spirit in these last days. It's just going to be impossible for us to live without the miracles. And I'm not just talking about miracles like, you know, physical healings, things like that. I'm talking about the miracle of timing, the miracle of applied wisdom, being able to release things. I'll share a testimony with you. Back in November, I think it was, God began to speak to me. I had this really nice fish and ski boat, and we've had it for 6 years, I guess. I really enjoyed it, caught tons of fish, you know, and everybody enjoys swimming off of it. And God said, it's time for you to sell it. And so I bring it up, you know, out of the lake, and clean it all up, polish it up, take it up, put it on the grocery store parking lot. Within an hour, a lady said, you know, I want to buy that for my husband for Christmas. And so I said, well, fine, I'll just, you know, take it back, put it on the water. And well, she never did. But not only that, it just, it seemed like everything about it just went from bad to worse, you know. And so finally, I'm really like, well, I thought you told me to sell it. And he said, I want you to be willing to sell it. I didn't tell you to do it yourself. And so I said, I said, okay, then then I remember how I used to do things.
Yeah.
You know, what I used to do was release them to him, and then he would do it. And so I said, okay, let's get back to the miracles again. And I release it to you. You do whatever you want with it. And so I'm going down to the dock one day, and there's this guy from St. Joe who has a condo down there. And so we're walking down to the dock together, and it's like the Lord was nudging me. And I said, oh, by the way, Bob, I'm going to be selling my boat if anybody's interested. He said, I'm interested. He said, I've been waiting, you know. And I said, well, you know, it's for sale if you want it. And he said, well, we're packed and ready to head back to St. Joe. The car's ready to go. But he said, I'll be back in a month. He was back in 10 minutes with his wife and to show her. And anyway, we pretty well, you know, did it by phone and everything. But anyway, he had this old boat. And he said, well, if I could just get rid of my old boat, I would, it would help a lot. And everybody around there, it's been on the water there for like 16 years that people can remember. Anyway, and they call it the old blue goose. Bird dab all over it, and you know, it's terrible shape. And anyway, he said, you know, if I could get rid of the old boat, why, that'd really help. And he said, how much you think it's worth? And I said, probably around 800. I think you could sell it for 800. And because it had a pretty nice Johnson motor on it. And he goes on back to St. Joe, and one of the guys at one of the maintenance guys at the condo said, "Well, hey, I'd give $800 for it, you know. So if you get it, why, I'll just buy it from you." And the Lord said, "No, that's your boat." And so I says, "I don't want the old blue goose, you know," and. Anyway, I called the guy up and I said, you know, I'll give you $800, trade in on mine. You just pay the difference. And he was just thrilled. A beautiful Christian man, him and his wife, just wonderful Christians. And he said, well, that just makes everything easier. He said, I'll be down Friday. We'll close the deal. And I'm thrilled because I think I shared with you that, you know, I'd had to rebuild the motor and everything, and had a lot of money invested in it. I got all my money back. And the old blue goose. And so anyway, we changed stalls, you know, because I put mine over in his stall and he put his over in my stall. And so I get a rag out and I'm starting to clean this thing up. And I'm finding this wonderful boat under all this junk, you know, and I said, Lord, what are you doing? I have no idea what you're up to. And it had some old canvas stuff and a lot of duct tape holding it together. I started tearing the duct tape off and washing it, and the name of the boat is a bellboy. Everybody knows bellboy. No, you've never heard of a bellboy. Probably. Have you? A bellboy boat?
No.
Okay. Well, I know one thing. That's all I knew was the name on the side of it said bellboy. And the B is missing off of the bell on one side. And so I go in on the internet. I just type in, you know, bellboy. Here comes all this information. This thing's a classic. It's like having a 57 Chevy. They have memberships and clubs and, you know, and all this stuff. And I think, what have I done? You know? And as I start uncovering this and taking all the junk off of it, all these people start to take an interest in it, mm-hmm. restoring this bellboy. You know? And so grumpy old men, you know, we have in the condos, we have people who have been very, very important in their life, and now their biggest decision is, you know, what to have for breakfast. And they just feel worthless, you know, and it's like, oh, can I help? Can I help? Can I, you know? And all of a sudden, these grumpy people are becoming very, very nice friends all around this boat. And now people are driving. I leave my garage door open as I'm restoring this thing, and people are driving by on purpose. Look, you know. And anyway, the whole thing turned out to be a miracle of God that I had no idea about. Mm-hmm. He didn't want me to sell my boat, you know. He wanted me to do this exchange thing, and the result of it is this outpouring of His Spirit, able to communicate with people who, in the past, there are some people that no one will even talk to. They're so grumpy. And this one guy who can hardly walk is walking all the way up the hill and coming so that he can walk by. And then as soon as he sees me, he comes over, starts to visit. And people are bringing stuff. Oh, can I, you know, I think I have one of those. Oh, I think I can help. What about this? You know? Anyway, it's just, it's that kind of miracle that I'm talking about. See, I was just over in Greenville, Illinois, and a lady went through the exact same thing. She felt like she was supposed to sell her home. And so she tried to sell it, and it just, everything fell apart. And she, well, I thought you wanted me to sell my home. And then she realized what she needed to do was release it to Him. And come to find out, there was this Catholic group that's been wanting to buy it for a long time. Well, they got together, come find out these are Spirit-filled Catholics. They got together. They thought they were getting together to sign papers. It turned into a revival. And they all got to worshiping God. You know, she said it was just, it's one of those things where you could hardly breathe. The presence of God was so great. Just to sell a home. You know. That's the kind of miracles I'm talking about. Yeah. Yeah. Where God gets right in the middle of what you're doing today. See? And just taking part in your life, and you're taking part in His life. Hallelujah. So that's what He's saying. I bought you, chose you, I made you, I will help you. And I will pour water on him who is thirsty and floods on dry ground. You can't fill up something that's already full. And so what I found was I had to empty myself. I had a lot of thoughts and a lot of ideas and, you know, even fantasies of what God would do. And I got rid of all of it. I said, you know what? I don't need any of that. All I want is just your day by day, moment by moment guidance. And once I did that, once I became dry ground, then he began to fill and to fill and to fill. And so it's just every day now, just to wake up and to see what new thing God's going to do is just marvelous. Turn with me to Isaiah 35, starting at verse 1. We'll go verses 1 through 10. The wilderness and the wasteland shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the excellence of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the excellency of our God. That's what it's about. It's about people seeing the glory. People seeing God active in your life. That recognizable reality of His presence, that's what witnesses to them. Yeah. You can talk to them till you're blue in the face. But when they see God doing something in your life, it's this glory that's going to witness to them. Strengthen the weak hands. Make firm the feeble knees. Be strong. Do not fear. I'm confident that the only way I can stay free from fear is to walk in the Spirit. Yeah. Because, and I very seldom watch the news, because it seems like the news is just trying to get you to fear. Just almost every report is, and if they bring any kind of good report, then immediately they bring somebody that has a bad report about that good report.
Yeah, that's right.
I couldn't believe it the other day.
It defeats the purpose.
Yeah.
You know, tearing down instead of building up.
Yeah. I couldn't believe it. I guess it was because it was Mother's Day coming up or something, but they were saying that there were more professional women leaving their profession now and staying at home to be with their children. You know, and they just gave it as a report. Immediately they brought this lady on that said, that is the most horrible thing I've ever heard of. These are people who, you know, have great ability and they're giving it all up to raise kids. I couldn't believe it. Couldn't believe it. You know. But what I know is because God is in charge, I have nothing to fear. I have nothing to fear. The fact is, I'm very excited about the future. I'm not fearful for the future. And even though in the Spirit I can see things that are going to be taking place. But you see, it's going to be right in the middle of the bad things. What man intends for bad, for evil, God's going to turn for good. And that's where the glory's going to shine. See? And so as He pours this water out on us, And the ground is dry and parched everywhere, but who's receiving? The chosen. He said, I'll help you. I'll help you. Yeah. I think my greatest mistake, especially as it showed up in the boat, that I wanted to help myself.
Yeah.
You know. Because waiting for God's help sometimes requires patience. And we would just as soon go ahead and do it, you know, and say, you know, let's just do it, get it over with, and it'll be done. But when God is orchestrating something, because He's not interested in boats. He's not interested in houses. That's not His interest. His interest is in people. And the way that He brings people together, and unless a house becomes a home, it's nothing anyway. And with this boat, I have no idea if I ever get to use it. I think everybody else is going to use it, and I won't get to. One guy said, I bet you never put it on the water. It's too pretty. Because you know, once I got all junk off of it. I mean, it's a 1965 bellboy. Oh, I didn't tell you the history of this bellboy. They were the first people to make fiberglass boats. That fiberglass was invented actually for the government. And this Bellingham Shipyard in Bellingham, Washington, was making this stuff for the military. And they thought, oh, this works pretty nice. How would it work for little boats? And so they started making fiberglass boats. So they were first people to make fiberglass boats. They were first people to put color in fiberglass. And so their boats, when you see them, they're all these brilliant colors. Mine happens to be aqua. But as I shined it up, all the original color comes out. And all the chrome on it, all the chrome was rusty, you know, and I thought, well, as you take the rust off, the chrome will just, you know, peel away. And I start, and it all come out just beautiful. Yeah, and it just, got horns on it. Beep, beep, beep. But anyway, it's just, you know, watching the people, you know. And it's like the glory of the Lord is somehow coming forth from this boat, and people are being attracted to it. And of course, the whole purpose isn't the boat. The whole purpose is the people.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Okay. Be strong. Do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. Hello.
Hi.
Good evening.
How are you doing?
Wonderful. Wonderful.
I'm going incognito.
Yeah. Oh, that's fine. We're in Isaiah 35, verses 1 through 10. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Now, the word save here is actually for deliver. It's not like being born again. It's like whatever your circumstance is, he said, I'll be in there with you to save you, to deliver you. And so that gives us a confidence that we can go into anything with God, and he will save us. He will deliver us, and he will reveal his glory in the midst of it. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened. Miracles. The ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Miracles. Then the lame shall leap like a deer. The tongue of the dumb sing. See, all the miracles. For waters shall burst forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water, and the habitation of jackals, where they lay, there shall be grass with reeds and rushes. A highway shall be there and a road, and it shall be called the highway of holiness. God's going to make a way. God's going to make a way. And this wonderful highway. Not, I believe in the end times there will be a literal highway. But what he's talking about here is making a way. That is a special place where he is working. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for others. Whoever walks the road, although a fool, shall not go astray. Well, I tell you what, that qualifies me. I make a lot of stupid mistakes.
You're the only one.
I'm the only one.
I don't do it.
But isn't it neat that in the midst of even our own foolish mistakes, God said, I'm going to make a way.
Yeah.
I'm going to make a road. I couldn't believe it when we got ready to, on this boat, when we got ready to do all the paperwork and everything, I keep all my car titles, boat titles and all that in a safe. And so I went to the safe to get my titles out so we could exchange titles. And I don't have them. I thought, where in the world could it be? I'm tearing the whole house apart looking for these titles. And I can't find them. Can't find them anywhere. And then I remembered back. Remember I said everything was going haywire when this other lady tried to buy the boat? One of the things I did was I went in and I did the trailer because it was the end of the year, the end of December, so I had to get trailer license. In the midst of doing that, I'd taken all the titles out, and I thought, well, I want to have them ready for her to, you know, so I can sign this all over to her. And I'd put them all in an envelope. Well, I took them all with me to the license bureau. When I brought them back, I had them in my hand, and I said, Wayne, you have to put these in the safe. You have to put them in the safe. And then there was something about my car, and so I laid them down on my workbench so that I could take care of this other thing, and then I'd forgot about them. A few weeks later, I was cleaning out the garage, and I thought, well, I've already taken care of the boat license, threw them in the trash. I said, stupid! You know. And so it cost me $43. I had to, you know, get them all redone again. But in the middle of the night, when I lose something, I ask God, where is it? Mm-hmm. And he's always shown me. You know, and usually I can just walk right straight to it. So I'm laying there at night, and I wake up, and I said, Lord, where are my boat titles? He said, you threw them in the trash. Ooh. But anyway, now, that we want to see what God is going to do here. Whoever walks the road, although a fool, shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast go upon it. It shall not be found there. And the ransom of the Lord shall return. I'll tell you what, this, at our church down in Forsyth, we're seeing people who haven't been in church in years, have had issues and all kinds of things, and they're coming back. The ransomed of the Lord are returning and filling up buildings everywhere. It doesn't matter what the denominational name is on the building. God is pouring out his Spirit. Every place I go and everyone I talk to on the phone, they're saying, you can't believe what's happening at our church. You just can't believe if it gets any better than this, you know. And every time I call them, this week was the best I've ever experienced in church. It can't get any better than this. And I call them a month later, you just can't believe what God's doing, you know. And that's marvelous. That's what we've waited all this time for. God is pouring out his Spirit. He's pouring out floods of water upon the dry ground. And come to Zion with singing. That's one of the songs we love to sing. An everlasting joy on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Okay, go with me to Joel chapter 2, verses 23 through 32. All of you are familiar with this. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain faithfully. He will cause the rain to come down for you, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. The threshing floor shall be full of wheat, and the vat shall overflow with new wine and oil. So I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the crawling locust, the consuming locust, and the chewing locust. My great army which I sent among you. And what's he saying here? He's saying you've been through some dry places. Sometimes the enemy eats your lunch. That's Joel chapter 2, did you?
No, that's what I was wondering. Joel chapter
2. What? Joel chapter 2, 23. We started at 23, reading on down. So I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten. It is a marvelous thing to me. When I had the Truth for Youth House, there was this young man, Bob Lancaster, and what an evangelist he was, just leading people to Christ. And I kind of figured he'd go into the ministry, buying Bibles and books and all kinds of stuff, and then he went into sin. And when he did, one day I showed up at the gas station where he was working and started talking to him about the Lord. He said, "Don't talk to me about the Lord. I'm an atheist." Well, see, he was fulfilling the scripture in Psalm 10:4. It says, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God, therefore no punishment." And so, we always hide from God when we're the one that's messed up. And so anyway, he sold all of his Bibles, his books, and of course things just got worse and worse and worse for him. And one day showed up on the doorstep and said, "Help," you know, and prayed with him, and he repented, but the wonderful thing was, even though there were years in between, the moment he repented, it was as though there had been nothing in between. They were brought together just instantly. And his life was just, that eternal life was just a constant flow. And there was no disconnect at all. That's what he's saying here. I'll restore all of that, whether it was hours that was lost, whether it was wasted years, whatever it was, he said, "I'll restore that. And I'll put it all back together for you." And my people shall never be put to shame. Let's see. My great army, which I sent among them, you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God. So, I think this is going to be our life. It's going to be a life of praising the Lord. Not as an effort to praise the Lord, but praising the Lord because every day we're going to witness great things. And we just can't help but praise the Lord. See? I think this praise he's speaking of here is going to be a spontaneous praise as a result of seeing the glory, seeing the miracles, seeing all this stuff happening. And of course, you won't see it if you don't acknowledge him. And of course, he won't direct your path unless you acknowledge him. And all your ways acknowledge him. He'll direct your path. Well, it's the directing of this path, this highway of heaven, that is where we're going to see all this stuff taking place. We're going to be walking the highway with the Lord and a bunch of fools, including us. Who who has dealt wondrously with you. In other words, there's the wonder of it all.
That's right.
He's going to be dealing wondrously with you. Just, you know, and of course, I'm constantly saying, I wonder how he did that. I wonder how he did that. That's what wonderful is. Full of wonder. How did you do that? Oh. I am the Lord your God. There is no other, and my people shall never be put to shame. It shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and also on my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my spirit in those days. I believe he's talking about today. And I will show you wonders in heaven and on earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before the coming and great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, among the remnant whom the Lord calls. So, and of course then Jesus is reflecting on that and speaking to it in John chapter 7, verse 37. John 7, 37 through 39. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. And so, and of course, he's talking here that would be the feast, I believe, the feast of Pentecost. But see, Pentecost was still forthcoming. Mm-hmm. See, and he was talking about that. And then in Acts 2, starting at verse 15, for these are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And then he goes on quoting all that we just read there from Joel. And so the invitation is, come, come, everyone who is thirsty. That's me. I am so hungry, and I am so thirsty, and I so want to see the glory of God. And I want to see lives changed. And that's what, you know, that's what we're seeing in this outpouring that we're in the middle of right now, is we're seeing lives changed. No one being convinced. It's not someone talking to them and convincing them. It's God talking to them and changing their life. We don't need more counsel. We need miracles.
Amen.
We need to receive something from above. We need the Holy Spirit. And so he said, I'm going to send you floods. In other words, I'm going to give you more than what you need, so that you'll have plenty for others. As I've told you many times, anointing is power meeting need. How God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. So the anointing was the Holy Spirit given to him without measure. Now, the levees can't keep it in. It's too much. It's going to overflow. It's going to get all over the Baptists and all over the Methodists and all over the Catholics and all over the Episcopalians and Presbyterians. And it might even get into the Assemblies of God. You never know. Hallelujah. But there's a lot of parched ground. And God's pouring out His Spirit. And the beautiful thing is they're all receiving it. And they're all responding to it. And that's the good news. That's the glorious news. Is that all denominations of people now are being filled with the Holy Spirit and the power of God. And it doesn't seem to matter who I'm talking to or what church it is. People are telling me about the miracles and the things that are going on and the timing and the situations and how God's working and so it's just a very, very exciting time to be alive. But it is a time to empty ourselves out, stop trying to do everything ourselves, and let God do it. Let God do. That doesn't mean there won't be hard work to do. It doesn't mean we're on easy street. It just simply means you're going to work.